like a zombie.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, excuse me. Ladies and gentlemen. Here we go.
Let me get this straight. We did a show Friday. We come back and do the show on our regular time, the time period at 10:30 on Monday. And you still haven't woken up. Right? Oh, we're going to have to just call you Hot Rod Van Winkle because you need to wake up.
No, I thought on Friday's show he was tipsy or drunk or something or about to get drunk. Which one?
It's probably a little bit of both, but I digress.
Listen, okay, I have a problem, okay? I can't stay awake. I'm sorry. But other
can't
than
stay
that,
sober, can't stay awake. You know, potato, hey, potato, it is what it is.
At least I'm not dropping bombs at places. Oh,
oh Lord.
Oh, gosh.
Here we go.
No. I'm like, I'm shooting, but I ain't shooting. Oh, never mind.
The insensitive hot rod continues.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy edition of The Absolute Truth right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most. And yes, I am broadcasting live in the bathroom right now. And that's why you hear echoes. I am the hot rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only.
It is Sean Black in the building once again. My God, help us all. Hey, by the way, this is episode 190. We are 10 shows away from 200 episodes. So
I don't know. The way everything's going on in this world today, I don't know who's going to make it to show 200.
199 might be the last one. That's real.
But I have Tisha in the house. Y'all, welcome. Okay. It's funny that the number to call is 347-989-8402. If you want to drop any bombs on Sean Black.
Stop it. I'm going to have to call you out on that.
Hey, I'm just saying. At the end of the show, Sean Black will give you his address, so you want to send any packages to him. Go for it. And before I forget, next week we are doing a show on Wednesday night, a night after the biggest election of all time in American history. So tune into that to our special, because I'm sure we will have a lot to say about the outcome on the biggest midterm election of all time.
Yes.
Sean have his opinion. I'm telling you right now, the Republican, do not be surprised if the Republican win again. That's all I'm saying. But if the Republican loses, what's the next step? That's something we will talk about next week. It will be very interesting because I made sure Sean might be watching the whole election while Tisha and I and the rest, we'd be out drinking and partying, you know.
The crazy thing is catching up on some Z's. Anytime that we cover elections, because we've been doing this show now going on 4 years, anytime that we have any election stuff to do, I'm the one that does all of the watching of all of this stuff. So Hot Rod calls me up or he's giving me a text. He's like, so who's winning? Well, what's going on? Who's winning in what district? Because I don't care. I'm drunk. I'm going to drink. Leave me alone. So I'll walk around. I end up having like 5 stacks of papers and stats of who's going on, what's going on, and jotted down stats. And then when we go and do the show, hey, just let me know what's going on. Okay. So that's how it goes.
And your point is?
And my point is, we work harder than we should be.
And this is why I pay you guys great money to do the show.
The great percentage of nothing.
Yes. All right, let's be serious for a minute now. Like I said, we did a show Friday night about Mel Bauman and Megyn Kelly. And it's funny that the next day, you turn on the news, I'm like, well, should I be shocked at this point? With a little bit twisted story, another mass shooting happened in the United States, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But this time, it's not of black people that we normally hear or listen or see on the news. This time, it involved a synagogue of Jewish people. And let's go to Sean Black first. when you first heard the news about the mass shooting and all of the things that's happened, what went through your mind right away?
Well, initially, when I first heard about it, I initially thought that it was somebody that went into, like, a church, or because I didn't hear synagogue or where it was, because I just heard it briefly. I think I got a notification on my phone about it. Then I turned on the news to find out what it was, and then when I finally saw it, I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. And then they said it was in a Jewish synagogue in Pittsburgh. 11 dead, I believe 7 or 8 others injured. The oldest person that was in this Jewish synagogue that was murdered by this person was a 97-year-old survivor of the Holocaust. The youngest victim, I believe, was in their 50s. So we're talking about a close-knit community of Jewish Americans. Some of the ones that were in there, like I stated, survivors of the Holocaust, or might have had family members that were survivors of the Holocaust and were basically peaceful Americans, peaceful people, just worshiping in their place of worship. And the rhetoric that we hear in this climate, in our political climate today, has now trickled in so much so that it doesn't seem like you can get away from it now. We've seen church shootings in black churches. We're now seeing shootings in Jewish synagogues. We just recently, also over the weekend, had a shooting in a supermarket in Kentucky. 2 African Americans were murdered by a person claiming to be a white supremacist. And I tell you, the temperature of the country when we talk about hate and we talk about what's been going on, it's depressing, it's angering, it is tiresome, and it doesn't seem like it's going to calm down because it keeps being ratcheted up ever so much. And a lot of it comes from people that we continue to talk about, the President of the United States and others like him. And there are lots of examples of that, and we're going to probably talk about that during the show, unfortunately.
All right, Tatisha, not to get too personal, but I know you hug your daughter, kiss her goodnight every time. When you hear stories like this, or when you put your child to bed, do you think about these stories like, wow, you know, are you afraid for your child overall with this crazy world that we're living in right now? Like I told Sean prior to the phone, I'm afraid for our kids' future. Sean, like, I'm afraid for our future right now. We don't know what's going on. What went through your mind around that time?
Well, first of all, you're just going to pray. Prayers and condolences goes out to those families. But the first thing I said to myself is, wow, looking at the age group of some of these people, wow, they didn't die in the Holocaust, but they died in, you know, this church with this shooter. Now, we always hear it's always a black church, like Sean Black said. People have to realize right now that we all bleed the same. So you have these white supremacists. They're attacking certain things that's based on, you know, the Constitution, like, let's say, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and so forth. That's what they seem like they're going against. But we keep saying with this stupid MAGA hat, make America great. What are we making great? For white supremacists to continue to act out how they're acting? What is so great about America right now? What is so great? And I hope Trump doesn't go rally somewhere and talk about this somewhere when he needs to speak in the White House about this. Versus going out and rallying and talking and riling up these white supremacists again.
And that's the one thing that that is the overarching story about this, is that no matter what hate crimes we hear about, when we hear about guns, when we hear about violence, when we hear about some sort of violent incident that involves a race or a religion or a creed, there seems to be a lot of this same dynamic that seems to thread through all of it. And it seems to be a lot of the bile and hatred that seems to come from the president, the words that he says, the actions that he takes, and all of the other things that kind of trickled down. And as you just pointed out, Tisha, as far as the president doing his rallies, think about this, just to give a little bit of perspective to find out why we are so critical of this president. He did a rally during the week that the shootings and the bombings that we talked about last week, the bombing attempts happened, the mail bombings. And literally, while the president had talked about, well, you know, we have to come together, we have to be stop all of the anger, et cetera, the normal stuff that he says through his teleprompter. The day, literally the day that this bomber suspect was arrested, he went right back to yelling and screaming about lock this person up and all of the other things that he says. And the other thing that he did was that he, the day after that, basically tried to rationalize why he had a rally as opposed to saying, you know, let me pull back, let me let the country heal, I'll address the country as far as these kinds of things happening. This is what he said at one of the rallies. He basically said a lie and used 9/11 as the reasoning to try to gather people together. He basically said that, well, the reason why we didn't pull back this rally is because the day after 9/11, which was a tremendous evil, tremendous sorrow, the World Trade Center and the stock markets opened up the next day, and people were saying, well, it was something that was unprecedented, but it shows that we can't give up, we can't fight, et cetera, et cetera. We can't let them win. I got news for you. That was a lie, because as we all know, being in the area, I worked at Wall Street, and we know, for those that were here, we know that the World Trade, that whole area was closed from September 11th, which happened on a Tuesday, to the next Monday, which was the 17th. So for him to go out there and use that tragedy to further bloviate and beat his chest to try to prove a point at his rally shows you the kind of disgusting tone that he uses to try to get his own ego stroked and push that forward towards his base to try to make himself look bigger than he is. That's the sad part.
And to add on to your point, Sean Black, when he did talk about the shooting that happened in Pittsburgh, as always, he have an answer for it. They should have been armed guards there at the synagogue. So in other words, ladies and gentlemen, they saw violence with more violence, because yes, in New York City, we do have armed guards in synagogues. But you figure a town like Pittsburgh, a small town, who's not used to terror attacks or being a high life, didn't think about armed guards. But now what? You can put armed guards at every church? As the rabbi
said. How
about
the churches in South Carolina? Do they have armed guards?
No.
The ones that got shot up there? Oh, okay.
Because you think, like the rabbi said, you think a place of worship is a place of peace. So last thing, you want to go there and worship your God or your religion, not to be worried about it when you see your armed guard out there. Well, I'm about to go to K-Dog in a minute, but K-Dog, for you, this sounds like I'm attacking you, but I'm not. I just want to bring up a point, like I told Sean. K-Dog, I know you hate talking about Donald Trump like a lot of other people, but this is where I slightly disagree about not talking about Trump. I believe Trump needs to be talked about more often, because, as you can see, this is the first time as a president, I could speak for one of us, we had never seen anything crazy like this before. And for our children, for ourselves, and what Trump is technically doing right now, I think we need to talk about Trump some more. Not of what he did, is what he's preaching. Because if we do not address these matters and these issues and do not face them, who knows what the future will hold for us.
And Hot Rod, before you throw it back to Kato, I want to piggyback on that point you just made. After everything that Trump has done, what you just stated is what people say. Oh, I've never known a president to say or do such and such. Said that after Charlottesville. Oh, I've never heard a president say and do what he's done. He said it after the hurricane with Hurricane Maria. Oh, I've never seen a president say or do such and such. And we say after the next, after the next, after the next. And you notice this has been a pattern over the last 2 years. And it's getting to the point that you just made, that we don't know what's going to come out of the president's mouth next. But whatever he says and whatever he does, you get that same reaction that you just said. We've never had a president to say or do what he's done, and it happens the next time, the next time, and the next time, and it ratchets up.
And to add one more thing, like former President Obama says, that when he was a president, no one in his administration got indicted for the last 8 years. So let's keep that in mind. And to Cato, so take it away.
Yeah. Hey, what's up, everybody? what's up, Havad?
What's going
Ms.
on?
T? Hello.
Hey, Cato.
Hello. Hey.
And, we know our names already, Cato. Thank you so much.
Right.
We know
well, anyway,
already.
I just want to meet everybody, but let me be serious for a second now. You know, Sean Black and I, we had a conversation off the air about this. And Hot Rod, you stated a very good statement. You stated something that I agree with. Let me just say this. You know, as a child growing up, I grew up during the Reagan era. I remember when Bush was president. I remember when Clinton was president. I remember when Bush was president. I remember when President Obama came into office. But then after, now with this, with Donald Trump, and like you said before, never have, Sean Black and I, we had a conversation off the air about this, and never, ever have we ever had a president who failed to address a problem that is going on in the United States, a problem that he is causing. Because you know what? When you are fanning the flames of hatred, it does open the doors for hate mongers and hate groups to come up. You understand what I'm saying? Even before Donald Trump became, even before he won the election, he already riled up the base of hatred already, because who are the first set of people that he attacked? Were the Mexicans, when he said, oh, the Mexicans are drug dealers, gangbangers, and rapists. They're going to come in and do all of this stuff to the country. He fired them up. He raised them up. I mean, let's look at it. This is someone who received campaign funds from David Duke, the head of the Ku Klux Klan. And when he won the election, you saw a new wave of white nationalism growing in this country. I mean, let's face it, racism is always going to be here. Racism is not going anywhere. And so it fired them up. It fired this brand of racism that you hear all the time going on. You hear about anti-Muslim groups. Because let's remember, this is a president who banned Muslim countries from coming into the United States by stating that, oh, these people are terrorists. Meanwhile, we have terrorists, American-born, who are in our own backyard, shooting up places.
And thank you for actually saying that, terrorists, because the president
yes.
is saying that. So thank you for saying it.
And let's look at this picture. I mean, let's look at what happened in Kentucky. Two black people were shot and killed by a white supremacist. And one of the things he said, "Oh, whites don't kill whites." That's what he said. And again, my condolences to those people who lost their, to the families of those who lost their lives in this senseless act. And my condolences to the people, to the Jewish community in Pittsburgh, where 11 people, some of them who were survivors of the Holocaust, lost their lives in a fit of when this assassin, murderer, walked into a synagogue, a place of worship. Again, we hear about places of worship. We've seen it in a black church, and now we see it in a synagogue. Shot and killed
wow.
11 people. And you know, this is, yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead. Finish up.
And you know, we see these kind of things happening. And you see the bombs being sent all over the place. And you know, this president has not called out anything, or has not called out that, wow, white nationalists are causing problems. Because you know what? In Pittsburgh, as I was reading today, the Jewish community is split on whether or not will they welcome the president to the to Pittsburgh, whether or not he will be welcome. Because the one who runs the synagogue said, oh, well, we have to welcome him. And another one who was a former president of the synagogue said, we don't want him here. You know, it's split. And, you know, let's just say he has divided this country. You see the great division. Go ahead, Hot Rod.
I have to admit, on October 29th, this is the most sense K Dog ever taught in on this panel. Thank you so much, K Dog. But
makes you want to scratch your head, I guess, huh?
Yeah. I'm
oh man.
You make a sense tonight. You okay? Yeah. Already?
Not it. I'm not sleepy.
But Tatisha, were you surprised of the media coverage of the shooting? I'm like, I hate comparing stuff, believe it or not. But you compared this mass shooting that happened in Pittsburgh compared to Charlottesville, how a perfect example. This happened Saturday. The pictures of the victim are up already. Compared to the pictures of the victims of Charlottesville, you didn't see them yet. You probably heard the names, but the media cover was completely different. Are you surprised by it, or just another day in Paris?
Nah, I wasn't surprised by it at all. I wasn't surprised.
Mm-mm.
Tisha,
the floor is yours. Come on now. The floor is yours.
Oh.
I'm just thinking, is it just me? Like, I mean, we need to go to the polls, right? Is this going to be, like, fair for people not to go to the polls and say, you know what, I can't take this anymore. I'm not even going to vote.
Yeah.
Wow. Tisha, I'm glad you just said that because today, pardon me for interrupting, because today while I was at work and I was reading certain news sources, you know, on my phone, all of a sudden, I read something that was, like, really eye-opening. They said that more people under the age of 30 are going to be heading to the polls next Tuesday, a lot of people. And will this cause a shift in the voting? Is it going to cause a shift? And I'm glad you brought that up. This is my question. What do you guys think, honestly? Is this going to cause a shift in this voting that's going to happen on Tuesday, Tuesday?
I'll go first. And based on what we've seen, I'll answer it in this way. We talked ad nauseum about how many people didn't vote in 2016. 93 million people that voted during the Obama election didn't vote 2016. 93 million. That's almost
of the country.
That's almost a third of the country that did not vote.
Exactly.
Now, when you're looking at the apathy, the vitriol, animus that you see between not just the parties, but with the races now, the Florida race for governor between Ron DeSantis and Andrew Gillum has a chance to be the first African-American governor in Florida. And DeSantis, who basically is a Trump supporter, has played that card, as we talked about before. He was, after he got the nomination, the Republican nomination to run as governor, he basically said, we don't want to have anybody, quote-unquote, monkeying it up. When you have quotes like this happening from candidates over and over and over and over, there was a tweet that was put in by the House Majority Leader, Kevin McCarthy, who basically is blaming George Soros, Tom Steyer, who is a prominent billionaire contributor to
Liberal.
The Democratic Party, and
yes,
Michael
yes.
Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York. He basically, he said a tweet, we can't let Soros, Steyer, and Bloomberg by this election. Get out and vote. That pretty much was deleted the day after it was put up. And the rhetoric that is coming out from a lot of Republicans is starting to trickle down to the rest of the people that are actually looking at this stuff now. To answer your question as far as is it going to change the tone, I don't think the tone is going to change. Will it help usher in this blue wave that a lot of people are thinking that the Democrats are going to get with a lot of these seats? It remains to be seen, but I know Hot Rod is thinking something probably a little bit different as far as who he thinks may actually win this tie to get this tie going as far as momentum goes.
Well, I have another caller first. 347-210. You know who he is.
Sometimes I know who I am, and sometimes I don't.
What's up,
well, I guess you're a candy bar now. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes,
yeah, sometimes
you don't.
You feel like you, sometimes you don't.
Sometimes.
Well,
hello, everyone.
Well, if you're in this country, you have to be a nut because everybody's nuts in this country.
Oh my goodness, are they?
Apparently.
But
yeah.
Before Brother B start, I was asking the question. Yes, this might be the biggest election, but you know what? The end results are still the same. Not to be too Mr. Negative, I believe these rednecks areas are very strong, and these rednecks will come out of Woodworth to make their country great again. So, like I
and
said
that's the
before,
scary part about it.
And like I said before, do not be surprised if the Republicans take over the House again. But Brother B, you gonna be running for Senate soon. What's your thoughts?
Yeah. Okay. my problem is going back a couple of months with this dude's rhetoric and talking about, oh, if the Republicans lose the House, you know, there will be violence. Ever since he said that, it didn't make me feel comfortable because that was the call. And it's obvious that there are people out there, there are idiots out there answering that call.
And, like Jerome Bomber?
Yeah, not just him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but my thing is, if you look at that situation, I didn't really get in depth in this guy's background or whatever, but I just found it interesting how he was able to just travel all of these places, allegedly,
yeah,
and do everything that he's done. And then you have the situation that just happened in Pennsylvania, you know, at the synagogue. You know, you have people out there that just are really going to feed into his statement, what he said, and the history of violence in this country that I have to say that has been perpetuated by white males, who, in which, want to make America great again. And to them, that is keeping women and minorities in check and in place.
So, Brother B, going to the topic of the show, do you think overall you have to face, because Donald Trump is to be blamed for all these rhetoric or these attacks that's going on in this country today?
Well, I tell you this, 8 years of Obama and we haven't really seen, we haven't seen or heard any of the propaganda and rhetoric that was going on like it is now. I mean,
no,
he's the ringmaster.
Well, we did have mass shootings during the Obama era.
Yeah, we had mass shootings. But,
and, you know, there was killing of the black guys, during the Obama era.
Well, of course, because, you know, you had people out there that were angry and hostile that the face of America was a black man. Now that you have this dude in office, he's basically like, what did he say? He's going to drain the swamp. I mean, how could you drain the swamp when you're the swamp master?
And also, there was something else too that I wanted to add too. How he distracted the whole situation when these things first started, when the bombs are being sent to these Democratic supporters.
Isn't he supposed to be making some speech as some white nationalist thing, not even really addressing the whole situation in Pennsylvania, but he goes to some
kept
white
on bringing up. What he kept on bringing up, he brought up the case of those migrants who are traveling from El Salvador to escape political oppression and making their way towards Mexico. He's already
sending
5,000 troops over there to block the borders.
The same thing that the Pilgrims did when they fled England, the British rule, like many, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of hypocritical, don't you think?
You would think that the quote-unquote this caravan is like literally at his door.
They're
thousands of miles away from the border.
Yeah, but with something like that, what you guys talking about, do you think that added fuel to the fire that this is proof what Trump, excuse me, what Trump is talking about? How Mexicans or Spanish people or Latinos, whatever you want to call them, want to come to our country, I'm sorry, the white man's country, and take over their jobs, their property, so on. This is a scary thought. You have, like you said, over 5,000
people. What are they
people.
Taking over? What are they taking over that the white man hasn't given them? Because the whole thing is this. We were only brought here because they were lazy, and they didn't want to do it themselves. So the same situation is just manifesting itself again. They don't want to cut grass. They don't want to do. There's certain things they just don't want to do because they feel it's beneath them. And it's not all Caucasians, but there are some out there who basically say, "Yeah, you're gonna make my burger. You're gonna flip my burger and cut my grass because I'm not gonna do it." If that was the case, then what's the purpose of outsourcing? They outsource
exactly.
Because there are people here that just are not going to do it. They are not going to listen. You got to call a spade a spade. And I've come across many white folk, many other people, and there's certain things, whether color or not color issue, is the fact that there's certain things that they feel are beneath them. And when it comes to certain jobs, there are white people that feel like, I shouldn't be doing this, I should be doing that. And they're not going to do it. They're just not going to do it. They wasn't going to picture a white person picking cotton.
This is all based on,
exactly.
We've said this before, it's all based on fear. The fear of loss of power, loss of establishment, and loss of revenue, money, attention, et cetera. All of those things that the old boys network established roots in hundreds of years ago.
And Sean Black, I got to ask you something.
Okay.
Given the history, I'm not going to say it, but I'm going to kind of say it. Given the history of this country and the history of politics and the way people do things, the election is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see anything coming up to distract it? Because you know there's that saying, you sacrifice many for the needs of the few?
Well, mm-hmm. I think the distraction is what's been going on with the caravan, or at least that is the attempted distraction. When you look at think about it, when the Democrats and the Republicans are in for whatever their play is, whatever they are trying to push towards their base to get them out to vote, one of the things you've always heard me say is the Republicans are very good at fear-mongering. They're coming for your gun. They're coming for your jobs, et cetera, et cetera. And the Democrats are always of taking the high road and never basically taking credit for what they have done. We know about unemployment is at an all-time 50-year or 60-year low, but a lot of that was started during the Obama administration. But anything that has happened in that administration, the Republican Party has basically done everything they can to denounce it or to shut it down or to destroy it. Now, the distraction here is with the caravan, and that is one of the main things which focuses in on the immigration part, losing of jobs. We don't want these guys coming into our country seeking asylum. When that happened, when we heard about this caravan, what did the president do? Well, they're harboring Middle Easterns, and he's starting to throw all kinds of groups into that whole caravan.
Mm-hmm.
That's the distraction. That distraction...
But Sean Black, at the same time, what are the Democrats doing themselves lately? They have, just like the election, they had it in their hands. Well, right now, you see
that was the point that I was talking about, and you've heard me say this before, that a lot of the Democrats have, in a lot of instances, have no guts.
They don't run on their record.
If their record shows that they've, in that case,
it shows once again why there's a good chance the Republicans will take over next Tuesday.
Oh, there's a good chance of it, but there's also,
hope in this sense.
Let me
get this to Tisha. Do you see hope in this?
Go ahead, girl.
By next week? K-Dog, stop kissing her ass, please.
Oh, my goodness, man. Come on, y'all.
Stop it. Stop it. I'm sorry. I can't take it no more.
I'm just saying, y'all need to
let her
talk. Chance. Come on, man.
Let her talk, and then I will answer the question. Tisha, do you see any hope start with next week's election?
I don't know. It's kind of like a balancing scale to me, so I really honestly don't know which way this can go. But as far as with what you're talking about, the Republicans seem to have more power in the House anyway, so. Mm.
And that power may continue. Now, go ahead, K-Dog.
This is the weakness that the Democrats have shown. It's like this. They're shrugging their shoulders like, what do we do next? I'm like, what do you mean, what do we do next? Do you see the crisis that's going on? I mean, are you blind, deaf, or dumb? Not to say that I'm making fun of anybody, but seriously, you got to take a good look at this. This is your time to fight. This is your time to show that fight, because even during the election of 2016, which some people thought we had in the bag, but people fell asleep and, you know, decided not to vote. But however, now is the time to show that strength. Now is the time to bring up the issues. Now is the time to challenge and say, this is what we're fighting for. This is what's going on in this country. Let's see if we could do something about this problem that's going on. You know, you just got to show, you got to, let me just say this. You got to show some damn balls.
True, Kato. I agree with that. But it's not like
they're not
the
doing it.
They're not doing it but at the same time, when we preach hate and everything, there's more reaction to that.
Exactly.
To,
there's more reaction
to
the negative.
Let's try to do something positive or we're trying to work together.
Because even a few weeks ago when the Proud Boys led that violent attack to the New York Republican in New York with the Republican Club right in front of there, where people got assaulted, where the counter-protesters got assaulted by the Proud Boys, and the Proud Boys was led by a madman by the last name. His name is McGinnis. This group was formed in 2016 after the election, you know, and so far from what I've read from a reliable media source, 954 hate groups have appeared in the United States since last year.
You know what I find so interesting about that? We still always turn the other cheek.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why we're going to continue to lose and not have
exactly
a grip on anything. I mean, sometimes you got to call a spade, and as much as you don't want to get dirty, sometimes you got to play in the mud when your enemies are slinging it. And this is the time where we have to really look at the overall objective and not really look at the whole, well, we shouldn't do this, and, you know, this is not God-fearing, this is not, but listen, God ain't got nothing to do with this. What's going on right here is basically you're being disenfranchised, we're being disrespected, we're being told all types of things, from being black to being Mexican to being whatever. We're basically being told that we don't count no matter what we do or how you say it or what you do. You can keep marching. You can sit in the back of the front of the bus. You can do whatever you want to do. It doesn't matter. We're still going to win.
But you know what
okay,
it is?
Hold on. I have to go to the next topic. But to Brother B's day, the story about turning on the cheek, wasn't there a story in the Bible about God helped David beat Goliath at one time? So was it that violence on violence?
David used a slingshot. He used a slingshot and slayed the giant. He slayed the lion with one shot.
Something about stories in the Bible, I just don't get it. You know, one tell you to turn the other cheek, the other one tell you to fight back.
A lot of it is parables. But at the same time, you know, there are, I mean, remember, it was transcribed or by man, and, you know, it's like anything that man touches kind of turns to shit sometimes. You know, it has its hypocritical points and moments. But my thing is, we cannot continue to turn the other cheek in the face of hate. Sometimes you just have to meet it and beat it. And we can get out there and vote, but when they play dirty, what are we doing? Playing clean? We can't keep doing that because the only thing they know is to play dirty. So sometimes we have to level the playing field. And the thing is, from the whole bus situation with those elders, for the people from the Georgia, your citizen home, yeah, in Georgia, I mean, that whole situation, deplorable. But see, if you notice, our opposition doesn't care. Whether it's our children, whether it's our elders, they don't care. So when like you said, when are we going to show some balls and be like, you know what, we're not going to allow you to do this? Because if you really look at it, this is some bully stuff. And we can't keep taking the shit from the bully. You have to fight back. And sometimes it's just more than just voting.
And that's the reason why I said before that there is some hope. And the reason why I brought that up is we have Stacey Adams, an African-American woman, running for governor of Georgia. We have Andrew Gillum, African-American Democrat, running for governor in Florida. And during his debate, he basically brought along all of the things that his opponent brought to the table that is right out of the Trump playbook. And his quote, which I think was so dead on, was he said that, "I'm not saying that you are racist, but the racists are calling you a racist." And he said that during the debate, and I think that was one of the most poignant things I've heard anybody say. And he didn't, as a lot of people do when they get racist thrown at them, they kind of back off. He attacked it. And that's why I say that there is a little bit of hope, because we're seeing more Democrats that are of a progressive nature that are coming out and are pushing forward against some of the stuff that's been going on against the old, quote-unquote, old-school Democrats and these old-school Republicans. And even if there are Republicans that are out there, if they are different from the rhetoric that we see now, it would be a much different picture. But we're just seeing so much vitriol and violence and anger and racism being pulled up. This is really getting ugly. So this has to change, or no one is going to listen to anyone.
Oh yeah, like me, I'm not listening to you right now, Sean Black. But
of course.
Okay, to this topic right now, this is a topic that happened on the show Dr. Phil that brought my attention, which I find it funny, but it's very sad and serious at the same time. And so I saw this episode last week about a girl, a young black teenager, who claims, young black teenager, but she claimed that she's not black, that she's white. As we continue the topic of race. So, Sean, in 2 minutes, can you tell us a little bit about what happened on Dr. Phil?
Well, basically, the story, there's a little bit of backstory where she does not know, I believe, who her father is. And I think she said she was told that her father was white, or she was told that in that instance. And I guess she believed growing up that she's white. She doesn't see herself as black. She doesn't associate with being black. So Dr. Phil had her and her mother on the show. And she's 16 years old. Her name is Treasure. And anything that came out of her mouth was anything but Treasure. She said the most racist, vile things about black people that you could hear coming from the mouth of an African-American. Very, very deprecating to her own race. And even more so, Dr. Phil actually had her on Hollywood Boulevard in the area where the Walk of Fame is, the Hollywood Walk of Fame is, and tried to have her talk to other African-Americans. And she basically looked in utter disgust. "I wouldn't associate with these black people because all they do is they procreate, they have babies, and da-da-da-da-da-da." It was the most disgusting thing I've seen in a long time. And we've seen talk TV shows where they have African-Americans denounce being, "Oh, I don't like black people, I love white people," et cetera, et cetera. This was really, really troubling.
So, in that case, Letitia, as a mother, then I'll go to Brother B because you have a teenage daughter. In your situation, if your daughter ever come up to you like that, how do you think as a parent you will handle that situation besides whipping her ass? I know that.
Oh,
I know
okay,
because
I was going to say I'll slap the blackness back into her, but okay.
But
seriously,
I brought this up because this is a serious problem over here that a lot of people see.
No, it's a serious problem.
Yeah, it
so
is.
Go ahead.
Sad.
And what's sad is the girl, Tresha, she's going to get, like, a reality check, and it's not going to be from a black person on this level. So it's going to be a white person to check her and let her know, you are black. You are not one of us. It's sad to say it like that.
And the other disgusting part of this whole conversation was to see how she was so disgustingly condescending to anybody that said anything to her. And she would make the little stupid face and flick her hair back and turn her head. It was really, really, really disgusting to watch.
She's still young.
No,
she still hasn't, you know, lived enough. She still hasn't experienced enough, you know, to know what's really, really going on. And like I said, she will get a taste of reality.
Yes.
Or maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, at age 16, you have enough time to evolve your set of thinking. And we hope that something big doesn't happen to her that changes her mind, and she can actually see it through on her own. But
I disagree with that, but go ahead, K-Dog.
But you know what? Like you said, this right here is a case of self-hatred. And I saw it, I'm like, and I was sitting there looking at the TV, shaking my head like, look at you, child, you're black. You're black. What the hell are you doing? And, you know, if this isn't a case of, you know, hatred, of self-hatred, I mean, to have that kind of self-hate. And last night I was having a conversation about this thing about self-hatred, where you have people, you know, remember a long time ago, skin bleaching, using a soap to bleach your skin.
Uh-huh.
For the desire to look, to have a lighter shade. And we've seen
that's
that
actually
with
still
many
happening,
celebrities.
Especially in the West Indies.
Oh, yes, definitely. Uh-huh. And they use, you know what they call it in the West Indies? They call it the cake soap, where you would see someone who is dark, all of a sudden, the next thing you know, they use that cake soap and they're lighter than light. Like, what the hell? And not to mention, they look disgusting, man. I mean, really, you're walking around, you know, using this soap to bleach the whole skin, and mind you, your lips are still black. You know, you look like you've been smoking, and your fingertips are still black. So, you know, this is the kind of self-hatred, and it's still being promoted to this day because people thought that, you know, this used to happen a long, long time ago, way back when, you know, especially with the dyeing of the skin and also, you know, using light to burn your hair to try to get your hair straight and all of that. So now you look at this 16-year-old girl, and it's a sad story. It really is.
That and this really goes hand in hand with that blackface story that happened that got Megyn Kelly fired from her job.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into the history of the blackface.
No. Brother B, as a father of a teenage daughter, your thoughts?
Like you said, she get her ass whooped. They might have the butts about that. My thing is, I just find the timing very interesting. Because I really find it interesting how some white guy says, hey, I'm going to put this show out there to basically give way to the idea of maybe, you know, somebody else will catch on to it too. To me, to even showcase that is to showcase self-hate. To me, it's like you're trying to season, you know, you're trying to turn the tide. So it's like, hey, if she can self-hate and we like her, you know, you can do it too. See,
you blame it Dr. Phil for showing this?
It's not just Dr. Phil, because I can sit there and ask, how much did they pay this little girl? How much did they pay her mother? How much did they pay them to come out and do this? How much did they pay them?
But Brother B, this is really happening because you have a lot of people out there who have that self-hatred.
But guess what? It's been going on. So what makes it more important Now, what makes it so important to the point where they need to broadcast it? We already know it's nothing new, but we're not going to use this as some type of trend. See, that's the problem. They take certain token Negroes, and then they exploit them to hopefully catch more and to make it seem like it's okay to be the token.
I don't think this is being made into a trend.
I don't think it's being made into a trend from this sense.
It's not a topic that you see all the time on talk shows. Dr. Phil has actually had this type of topic on his show, but the last time he had it on his show was probably about five or six years ago. And I remember this was an older woman who was with that whole self-loathing and that whole self-hatred of race, et cetera, et cetera.
Correction, Sean Black, we've seen that on many Oprah shows, Ricky Lake shows, and things like that, those kind of topics back then.
Of course, they're nothing new.
Yeah.
He's right.
But Ricky Lake hasn't been on in over, I mean, outside of that newer show that she did, her show wasn't on for over a decade. The Oprah show has been off for about 6 or 7 years. Well, and the reason why I'm bringing that up is it's not something that they do, well, here's the token black person happening once every season. This is a topic that they don't broach that often. And I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, but there are, I don't see this as a show or a production company trying to turn this into a trend to try and deflect it toward. I think what it is, to some degree, it may be subtle, but it's almost like somebody pulling out a mirror and saying, look in the mirror and see what do you see? And this plays a lot on a lot of those tropes that we hear from black kids in the 30s and the 40s straightening their hair with Concolene. With the kids going out there and doing all of the things that they thought they needed to do to be more comfortable and acceptable in the eyes of the establishment, which was largely white, and to a lot of in a lot of areas is still largely white. And a lot of African Americans, even within their own race, the lighter you are, the better you are. In their
they used to have a paperback. They used to have a paperback test. For entertainers, because you know what they would say, oh, you have to be lighter than this paper bag in order to be a star on this show.
I kind of disagree with that part that you said, especially being a light-skinned female, and I hate that people always say, oh, you think you're better than, and this, that.
No,
I'm
not
saying that. So I don't really care for that.
Yeah, that's a sad,
just
a reality.
You see a lot of light-skinned females on television back then, too, quote-unquote,
It's not so much a black quota. It's just that it's what they prefer. It's preference. It's what they choose. Is what they choose to see. This is what they want. They want lighter. Like, let's look at some of these shows. How many black men do you see with white women? But how many black women do you see with white men? There is definitely a different ratio. How many light-skinned women or light-skinned men do you really see? You always see more light-skinned women than you see light-skinned men, black men on TV. It's just the preference. This is what they do. Some
this
people say,
you know,
"Oh, you're."
It's about
this.
It's divide and conquer. That's all there is. Divide and conquer.
We know that. But the thing is, we constantly feed into the crap because you know what. I've met more pro-black light-skinned people than dark-skinned people.
Okay. Exactly.
Dark-skinned people, some of them have this complex about being dark or being who they are. And just like the guy with on that show with the black dude with the green eyes or whatever, the hospital show, I forgot. Anyway,
Jesse something.
Yeah. Exactly.
Jesse Williams?
He stood up more. Yeah, he's a light skin, but he stood up more than any black person, dark skinned person ever would.
All right. 3 points I want to bring up. First to Sean. Sean about the girl. I want her to learn her lesson in the hallway. I think that's the only way she will learn her lesson. I'm like, you don't want nothing bad to happen to her. But it's like saying, telling a young kid, don't touch the stove, you're going to get burned. Don't touch the stove, you're going to get burned. And guess what? He touched Ryan, my son touched a soul. Now he got burned. Now he learned his lesson not to do that crap again. And point number two, I'll never forget a few months ago when I was bathing my son. He's 4 years old. Of course, you know, kids learn things from other kids, the good and the bad. He told me, Daddy, mm-hmm. I don't want to be black no more. I want to be white. And you should have seen the look in my eyes when I heard those statements. And believe me, I addressed it right away. I gave him a long speech inside his bath. He looked at me like, holy crap, what did I do? No, I told him, like, you are black, you are beautiful. Don't let anyone tell you that you want to be white. And I asked him, where do you got that from? Some girl he was talking to, I think she was like Indian or something, that she wants to be white. And she put that idea in Ryan's head. And it's funny that, brother, we say that that's how ideas get transferred over, you know, from someone else. And point number three, going back to Sean's point and Brother B point, Sean and I talked about this show, Black Lightning, earlier, and about the gay exploitation. It's funny how, you know, there was a scene, a lesbian scene, and how they're trying to put the gayness into the black community. Same thing, I was trying to, like, bleach your skin into the black community. Do you still believe, even Empire have, like, a gay character? To us, it's really nothing. But do you still believe, guys, in today's TV world, they're still trying to exploit us in certain ways to the typical stereotypes?
Of course. Listen, it's dilute. You have to dilute the strength. It's not like this. Years ago, I remember, homosexuals have been around for decades.
For millions.
Yeah, exactly. But the whole thing is, how feminine were they? Like, I remember, you know, there were men out there that were homosexual that you never even knew were homosexual. Why? See, the issue is not homosexuality. It's why can't a man still be a man? Why do you have to dilute the male aspect of it? You see what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with the homosexual. But why do you have to kill the male?
Sean can answer that question.
Oh, my gosh. I can't.
Go ahead, brother.
Ask the question and then I'll answer it for you.
No, I didn't.
But Atisha, quickly, what do you think about that?
I don't know why it bothers everybody about what goes on in a person's bedroom. I mean, can a person be who they are?
Yeah, but it's on TV. It's being out there in your face. So the thoughts get into your ideas of a lady sleeping with another lady or a black guy sleeping with another black guy and so on and so on.
It doesn't bother me. I'm sorry. It's the reality of it. Is that not what TV is about?
Yeah, TV is about reality indeed, but unfortunately, some people like to see the bigger, like, you know, the hidden messages, as we like to say.
Okay, then, like, back in the days when you couldn't watch certain shows, then don't have your kids watching TV at that time.
Well, we also know that all television evolves mostly with the changing of the times and with the introduction of social media and a lot of things. Now, there are a lot of soap operas now that have storylines for gay, lesbian, transgender, and that's just a reflection on the times. The same way that laws have been changing to allow people to smoke weed legally, it's only a matter of time before that becomes nationwide. So when you see these TV shows introduce certain storylines and certain lifestyle aspects that may be jarring to some people, that's something that you have to actually learn to realize that this is how things are starting to evolve as time goes on.
And don't forget, it also goes into pulling in your target market to watch those shows.
Exactly.
So it also boosts the ratings, so don't forget that.
Yeah, and we also know skews towards teenagers and young adults, like between 20 and 25. So that aspect of the show was working to them.
Sorry, as always, you're running your mouth as always. Guys, thanks so much for tonight. Tune in next week, Wednesday, when we have our election special and listen to why Sean is finally coming out the closet after the election.
Oh, my goodness.
Brother B, K-Dog, Tisha.
That's right.
Like I said, I've got two requests.
You sure about
my
that?
Goodness.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a good night and Godspeed. And go out there and
good night.
Vote. Don't forget.
Go out and vote.
Yes.
Go out and vote. Rock the vote.
Pleasure was all yours.